Welcome to this podcast from Harvest Community Church of Huntersville, North Carolina, where our vision is to make disciples who make disciples. I'm your host, Liz Stefanini. One of the most interesting characters in the Bible is a man named Jonah. For the next four podcasts, Senior Pastor Jerry Barber is going to show how the ancient story of Jonah is still relevant for us. Today's episode focuses on Jonah chapter 1 and is titled, When God Asks You to Cross Barriers.
Ring. Ring. Hello, this is Jonah, son of Amittai. I'm not available at the moment, but if you leave a message, I'll get back to you as soon as possible. If you're interested in any of my recordings of my recent sermons about the expansion of the Northern Kingdom, please press 1. If you'd like an autographed picture of me in my hometown, Gath Hefer, press 2. If you'd like to inquire about my 3-hour tours aboard the SS Minnow, press 3. If you're calling for Mrs. Jonah, press 4. And if you're God asking me to go on a short-term mission trip to preach to people I don't know, like, or really want to repent, please call back another time. Well, welcome to this podcast where we're going to talk about when God asks us to cross barriers. And what we're going to do for the next few podcasts is take a look at a man who is very much like us in many ways, very different from us in many ways, the Old Testament prophet named Jonah. And that's the way his book opened up. The word of the Lord came to him and said, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. Jonah was told to go preach to the Ninevites. They were brutal, oppressing enemies. They were part of Assyria, the nation that was going to take 10 tribes of Israel into captivity. And Nineveh was the, quote, capital city of Assyria. It was an important city. Verse 2 of Jonah 1 says, go to the great city of Nineveh. It was an important city, and it was a major metropolitan area there, about 220 miles north of modern-day Baghdad. But it was a needy city. God said its wickedness had come up to him. So this is what God is asking Jonah to do. And actually, in verse 3, Jonah did the opposite. He ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed to Tarshish to flee from the Lord. So from where Jonah was, it was about 550 miles in one direction to Nineveh. Tarshish was over 2,000 miles in the other direction. I mean, why go to the trouble to go all the way to Nineveh? Why risk being rejected or beaten or killed? Why announce God's word to a foreign, unfriendly people? Why be a missionary? Jonah was likely trying to go to a place where he was not likely to meet any other followers of God. Now, one pastor put it this way. To call Jonah to go to the Ninevites was like asking a Jewish person from New York to go to Hitler and tell him that God loved him and that everything he did would be forgiven if he would repent. So that Jewish person gets on a train, goes to San Francisco, then on a ship to Japan. He wanted nothing to do with it. That's the kind of struggle that we're dealing with here in Jonah chapter 1. God asking him to cross barriers. And of course, as the story developed, he gets on the boat, they have a violent storm, and the sailors are scared and start throwing things out in the sea, you know, to the cargo to lighten it. And Jonah goes to him and says, wait a minute, it's me. I'm the reason. And he told them that he worshiped God, but he had told them that he was running away from the Lord. That's not a good place to be. And so he said, just throw me out there. They didn't want to do it. They were scared, but eventually they did it. And even these sailors who don't, we have no reason to think they knew God, they prayed, Lord, don't hold us accountable for this innocent man's life. Then at the end of chapter 1, it says, the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. A lot of people have a hard time believing in the historicity of this story. Don't have time to get into that. There have been accounts of large fish swallowing large things in modern times. The strongest argument for it is that Jesus Christ believed this to be historical. The person who lived, died, was buried, and did the impossible, rise from the dead. appear before hundreds of people afterwards, and there's all kind of evidence about that. He looked and said that Jonah, he referred to Jonah as a historical account. So that's where we'll leave that and trust in him. Now, what can we learn about a story like this? Why would God ask Jonah to do something like this? Well, God is relentless and compassionate in his pursuit of sinful, needy people. I think that's a really good reminder for us in these days. There's all kind of crazy things going on in our society. We look around and we see people and we go, why did you do this? Why did they do that? Why didn't they do this? Let's remember that God is just relentless and compassionate. He gave the command for Jonah to go. He found the ship for him. He caused the storm. He sent the captain below the deck to find Jonah. He increases the storm so they couldn't row back to land. And then, obviously, he provided that fish. God is compassionate. He gave Jonah a second chance. He rescued the sailors. And so I think the theme of the book of Jonah is that God is a God of compassion and forgiveness, and not just towards us, and not just towards those who are like us. It also, we learn from this, it's really futile to run from God and his plan. The person who runs away from the Lord, Jonah was physically running away from the Lord, is the person who refuses to serve God in the task he or she knows God has called them to do. And that's what Jonah's doing. He's refusing to serve God even though he knows what God says. So if you are today, everybody listening today either is a Christian or not. If you're not a Christian, if you just know about God, I have great news for you. God is relentless and compassionate towards you, and he wants to reach you. He sent his son Jesus to die for you, and he invites you to turn your attitude of your sin, agree with God about it, and repent of it. That's what the Bible means. It's like a change of mind that results in a change of life. And you just put faith in him. And if you are a believer, let's ask God to increase our passion for those that need God. It's really easy to look at people, and especially people who mistreat us or mistreat others, and we get mad, we get frustrated sometimes, we get complacent. But let's ask God to increase our compassion for them. Jonah was given a task, but he ran away. And we've been given a task, which is to make disciples of all nations. You know, to go preach the gospel. Make disciples who will make disciples. To love God first and foremost, and then love our neighbors as ourselves. That's what God has called us to do. And so, you know, if we get God's heart towards people that he wants us to cross barriers for, it doesn't matter what race or religion or creed they are, doesn't matter if they're living a life that we agree with right now, it will cause us to love them as Christ loved them. It'll affect the view that we have of our neighbors and the parents of that our kids go to school with and play sports with. And they won't just be people walking down the street that or fade in the background, but we'll build redemptive relationships with them. Might change how you see teenage moms or people who have a lot lower financial standard of living or college students from other countries or refugees. And certainly it'll raise the importance of missions. And this is really, really the heart of God. One man named James Buckner pointed out how many ethnic groups in the world still don't have any access to the gospel message. And he says, in spite of these facts, the most affluent churches in the world often only dedicate small portions of their budget to mission projects outside their facility. And to many, it sounds inefficient or even foolish to send missionaries. And I love what he says. It's as foolish as sending one prophet from Israel to preach in the Assyrian capital of Nineveh, or as foolish as sending a baby to occupied Palestine to bring good news to the world. It is the foolishness of the cross. So what a great story today as we start into Jonah, remembering that God is relentless and compassionate towards people and wants us to be that way, just like Jesus was. How relentless was Jesus? Well, one day Jesus was passing through Jericho, and there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a tax collector who was wealthy, and he wanted to see Jesus. He couldn't see him. He was short. He climbed up in the tree, and And then when Jesus came by, he said, "Hey, Zacchaeus, come down. I must stay at your house today." And people are muttering and murmuring, like, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." Jesus went to reach the sinner. He said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Hopefully those are good words for us today from the Bible.
Thanks again for joining us today from Harvest Community Church. This podcast is also available on our website, harvestcharlotte.com. Please go there if you want to send a question or comment, learn more about our ministries, or find out how you can donate to support the podcast.